to the Red Pill Retirement Podcast, where we give you the raw, unfiltered truth about retirement planning in the modern age. Pensions and 401ks are quickly becoming a thing of the past, so we're here to share resources and recommendations that will help you create the retirement lifestyle you've always dreamed of. If you're ready to take control of your financial future, we're here to help. Let's get started. Hey there, James Sowers here, and we are back with another great episode of the Red Pill Retirement Podcast for you. Today, my conversation is once again with Mr. Ian Bond, and this one is all about how women who may be a little bit behind on their retirement savings for any number of reasons, whether that's maternity leave, or they went through a separation or a divorce, or they've been going through life as a solo parent on a single income with maybe a couple of kids, whatever it is that has caused them to not hit their retirement savings goals, we talk about some strategies for how they can take back control of their retirement and not only make up the difference or make up the gap from where they are to where they want to be, but go beyond that and start generating recurring streams of revenue that can continue to support them indefinitely throughout the rest of their life. So I think it's a really interesting conversation and especially timely, given at the time of recording, we've got Serena Williams in the news for some of the ways that she's being treated differently compared to her male counterparts. And I think that this episode is similar in the fact that there are certain aspects of roles that women have traditionally filled and the transition that's happening where they're being empowered both at home and in the workplace that have an impact on retirement planning. I think that this episode is really about how we can do just that. We can empower women to take control over their own future and give them the tools and resources they need to build a business that can sustain their lifestyle indefinitely. So really excited for you to hear this conversation. And as usual, I'll be back at the end of it to tie up any loose ends and tell you about what we have in store next. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Mr. Ian Bond. I know you're going to love it. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Red Pill Retirement Podcast. My name is James Sowers and I'm your host, and I am joined as always by Mr. Ian Bond. Now, Ian, I know you're just getting back from a fantastic trip, some time away from the office. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were up to?
Yeah, sure, James. Good to see you again. Well, the family and I just took a vacation, which was also part exploration. And we spent 4 days in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on the east side of the peninsula. And then we went across the peninsula to an island on the west side, the island called Penang. There's a colonial city, I think it's an UNESCO World Heritage Site, called Georgetown. And Malaysia is one of these places with an incredible healthcare system, incredible cost of living, great expat community. We really like Georgetown. I've been to Kuala Lumpur before. And, you know, so we kind of combine what is, you know, kind of a new place for my wife and kids, although I had been to KL before, with, you know, the chance of looking around and seeing, you know, could this fit at some point? You know, does it feel like it'd be something interesting for us if we might eventually want to look for some place to settle down? So, you know, that's kind of what we do on vacations. You know, we don't make any sacrifices. We, you know, we certainly stayed at nice places and had a lot of fun. So that's what I was up to.
That's awesome. That sounds like a great trip. And, you know, if you're new to the show, I think that's a great illustration of the kinds of things that we talk about here. And we talk about alternative retirement models. And one of those is living abroad so that you can leverage the savings you have and some of the currency exchanges and things to your advantage while living in a beautiful place, having a great healthcare system. And frankly, if you're not ready to make that commitment or make that leap now, you can go on your normal vacation. And like Ian was saying, use that as an opportunity to maybe vet or validate a place that you might want to retire to in the future. So that's just one example of something that we talk about on the show. And today we're talking about a really interesting and timely topic, I think. And that's all about how, you know, in the past, women have been underpaid or maybe lagged behind on their retirement savings a little bit when compared to men. And today we're going to talk about how women can take that control of that back into their own hands and start to improve their retirement situation through entrepreneurship and building a business. So, you know, I found this article on Forbes, which I'll link up in the show notes, but they had some interesting statistics around women and their retirement savings as compared to men. And on average, women save just a little bit more than half as much as the men in their same age group. And there are a bunch of different reasons that they cite behind that. Some of that is around prioritization. And during the child rearing years, women aren't as concerned about saving for retirement as they are just getting the kids out the door into school on time, whereas men make it their top priority because historically that role has been as the provider. So first, Ian, I'd like to just ask, you run a community for people that are in this age group. Do you see this kind of situation where women are kind of hitting the wall and seeing the retirement around the corner, but a little bit concerned about where they are financially and trying to make up a plan to make up that ground?
Yeah, sure. I would say, I was thinking about this, that just off of our blog, in the comments or people that email me, I get more cold engagement from women, maybe 60 or 65% to 35 or 40% from women than men. I don't know why that is. That's just an observation. And we can talk about a lot of the considerations and concerns, you know, how they got there. There's a litany of reasons. It could be, you know, kind of anywhere from, you know, kind of the traditional baby boomer and Gen X role choices of women having career interruption to have children. And, you know, all of the potential things that happened like that. My own family, when my mom was unwell, my sister was the one that volunteered to go and take care of my mom. And my brother and I did not. Or, you know, I've got a family. My brother does not have a family. My sister does not have a family. So they were, but my sister was one that volunteered. I think, you know, maybe women are more prone to do that. But there's a lot of reasons it happens. But yeah, I think it's absolutely the case that I get more engagement, cold engagement from women just strictly off the blog. Now, within the community, there's a very active dialogue, and there I think, you know, it's a safer place probably. But I think just you know, maybe it just is a, as you alluded to, a newer concept or more top of mind. I'm always trying to figure out, you know, why someone engages me. You know, what's their situation and why now? I always try to figure that out. And, you know, it's not an exact science.
Yeah, you know, if somebody's listening at home and they find themselves in this position, I would say, first and foremost, don't feel bad about it. I mean, you are not alone. There are plenty of other women facing these same challenges. And there, like you said, there are a bunch of reasons why this happens, and it's completely justifiable. If you take maternity leave to raise two or three children and you're out of the workforce for, it can be a decade or more, it's hard. It's nearly impossible to save for retirement during that time if you're not working at all. And then when you do come back into the workforce, you kind of feel like you're playing catch up. And I would say, don't feel any guilt or resentment about that, because frankly, it's never been easier to become an entrepreneur and quickly make up for lost time there. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And I think that, you know, one example that I do want to make sure that we touch on is that women on average live longer than men. And I know that you have a very specific story about someone inside of your community that brought that up to your wife about why she should be concerned about her retirement savings and the nest egg that you guys have.
Yeah, this really was striking. Last year in June, I attended a Live and Invest Overseas retirement conference in Portugal. We were looking to think about Portugal as a place we might ultimately want to retire. Hey, why not choose a capital city in Western Europe, okay? And I quickly was befriended by a couple. My wife was out sightseeing with my kids, and Heidi and Ed, and we ultimately had dinner with them. And I remember, and Heidi was probably 73, 4, 5, and Ed might have been 80. And I remember we had dinner, and Heidi, you know, grabbed my wife by the forearm and said, you need to keep doing what you're doing, because I have plenty of capital, but I don't have cash flow. And I don't want to dip into my capital, and you're going to outlive him. She was pointing at me. I said, I hope, you know, I hope you don't know something I don't know, but you're going to outlive him, and you know, think about cash flow. And she was incredibly direct about it. And I was really, you know, kind of taken by the fact that, you know, here she is in her 70s, really thinking hard about this, really interested in our e-commerce activities too. So you know, that's the most striking example that I can tell you.
Yeah. And I think the interesting point to emphasize there is that she does have a nice size nest egg. She does have a set of money that she has set aside, or they have set aside for retirement. But what she's saying is, I don't want to just draw from that, because then I'm going to be up every night wondering when I'm going to take the last dollar out of that account, right? What I want is cash flow. I want money coming in every single month to cover my expenses so I don't have to touch the nest egg. That becomes an inheritance for somebody or whatever you want to do with it at the end of your life. But instead of drawing down from a big bucket of money, you want money coming in every month to cover your expenses so that you don't have to worry about that.
Well, so James, going back to your original point, if Heidi was 75 at the time, she could easily live another 20 or 25 years. And so that is a very, I don't know what her nest egg is. They were well-to-do for sure. This conference wasn't cheap. But 20 or 25 years of funding would be daunting for anyone. And you need to be thinking in those terms, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And that's at 75. I mean, if she retired at 65, like most people plan to or hope to, or even earlier, then that's another 10 years. So you're trying to basically plan for a retirement that's almost as long as you were in the workforce. And like you said, that can be a daunting task. So what you want instead is revenue coming in every month from some kind of a business venture that can take care of you over the long term.
Yeah, well, I complain about this longevity thing all the time. This is a horrible thing. They're all going to live too long. You really don't want to have that mindset. But when kind of the traditional retirement age was established, the age of death was not too far beyond. when people started collecting retirement. Now it's now there's almost another third of your life that's left after that. So it's a whole different ballgame.
Well, and the nature of work has changed as well. That used to be a lot more manual labor positions. And at 65, you had to retire. I mean, you had a lifetime of doing manual labor and fairly broken at the time physically. So,
absolutely.
But now in today's world, we're working digitally and we're working with software and we're using our brains more than our brawn for the most part. So we can work longer and later into life and still be happy and enjoy the quality of life that we have without being stressed out physically, mentally, or emotionally. So that's definitely a changing part of the landscape as well that needs to be considered when we're talking about retirement planning. So, I love the stories that we've shared so far, but while we're on the topic of this woman giving your wife some advice about her retirement savings, I know that your wife, it was in one of these situations before and took a little bit of time off and then was weighing whether she should go back into the workforce or maybe not go back to work or do something entrepreneurial. So tell us a little bit about that situation and where you guys landed.
Sure. So my wife was a very high level executive assistant, I would say kind of a department coordinator in an investment bank. And she took 8 years off from the workplace and got our two kids into school. And she describes the moms in her group of friends of our kids' friends as a third of them never never leaving the workforce. So they were never able to attend any of the kids' activities and left their kids as they were, before they went to school, left them at home with a nanny. And then the other two thirds, some small percentage didn't want to ever work. And the rest of them were all trying to struggle to get back into the workplace. And she describes, just the challenge around, kind of missing the most recent technology upgrades in the office and feeling like you're a step slow as to policies and procedures, very daunting. And she definitely, when she was going through the interviewing process, saw, I would call it discrimination or at least a handicapping of the fact that people thought that, she's done this before, maybe she'll do it again. And so easier to take someone maybe who is, younger and looks like they're going to have a, not have to have departures from work early because there's a kid problem or something like that. And, it was really a daunting challenge for her. And so literally when she got an offer to go to work for an investment bank, the friends all rallied around her and, said any way they could possibly help. She had help from the stay-at-home moms and she had help from the moms that were still working saying, look, whatever you need, if you run into a situation that you don't exactly know what's going on, call me. I've still been working. And if you need me to pick up the kids because you've gotten waylaid, call me and I'll help out. It was wonderful. We had a wonderful group of friends.
Yeah. And what I love about that story is you kind of cover all three options, right? And what we're here today to say, I think, is that there's no right or wrong to this. It's a personal choice. You can go back to work, certainly. You can choose not to work and you can choose entrepreneurship. But if you try to go back to work and you find difficulty re-entering the workforce for whatever reason, if you suspect discrimination or something like that, the fact of the matter is you're putting a hiring decision in someone else's hands and they're evaluating you and your recent past and they're making a personal decision about whether or not to hire you. And in any case, whatever you think about the situation, that's not the best place to be, right? You want to have control over your future and you want your input to determine your outcome. And the best way to do that, I think, is through entrepreneurship and being a business owner. It gives you the most flexibility and it gives you the most control because the results that you get are directly determined by the energy, the effort that you put in. So what we're here today to do is to kind of weigh that. And I know your wife ended up with like an e-commerce store and now a portfolio of e-commerce stores. So can you talk about the decision when she made the decision not to go back to the workforce, but instead to be an entrepreneur? How did you settle on what path to pursue?
Yeah. So just to remind you, when I relocated 4 years ago, the month of September in 2014, my wife waited till the following summer, June of 2015, to bring the kids overseas. And so we were apart for, you know, call it 9 months or something like that. And when she arrived overseas, there really wasn't a large pool of jobs available for her with her skill set on the one hand. On the other hand, I had thought through the fact that ultimately, I will be reaching retirement age, and I would like to have an alternative source of income away from the job. And I got very deep into the e-commerce and the online world. And so we had actually talked about this before she took her job. But when she got over, I basically kind of steered that decision. She was game for it. And then we plunged head into purchasing a couple of websites pretty quickly and having her come up to speed as an alternative to a traditional job, something that would be portable when my employment ends or when we decide to retire, that we can take with us and continue to monetize from wherever we end up after here. So that was the impetus for the whole thing. And I can tell you that her original trepidation, because it was new to her, was certainly very high. But once she was able to get her arms around the basics, which did not take very long, she's able to work around our kids' schedule. So drop the kids off at school, she's working. Take the kids to activities. She can work from the soccer pitch or the rugby pitch or the ice skating rink. If she wants to, she has no problems. Last night she was out with her friends who work, and when she gets back, she checks on her team to find out if she missed anything. So she has total flexibility. She just needs to get the work done, and she's very disciplined, probably more so than I am, in terms of kind of lining up her priorities and getting them done. And now I think she would, I know she would say this is just a dream job. I mean, she is able to work from vacations when we go on vacation. She has been back to the U.S. For a couple of, semi-personal things. We always tie them to business-related things. And her team doesn't know where she is. Her clients don't know where she is. She's able to work and connect with everybody as need be, doesn't miss a beat. So it's an amazing ability that you have these days with the connectivity. All you need is an internet connection. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm glad we dug a little bit deeper into that because it actually highlighted a point that I neglected to cover earlier, which is you don't have to jump into entrepreneurship 100%. And in fact, you frequently advocate for getting a job and keeping your job and building a business on the side and extending your runway that way. And then at some point, if you want to, you can always make the leap into entrepreneurship after you've gained some traction with your business and you have some revenue coming in. So if someone is nervous about
foregoing returning to the workforce in favor of becoming an entrepreneur, you don't have to choose one or the other. You can go out there and get a job and still pursue entrepreneurship on the side. And then when those paths kind of cross to the point where it makes sense, you could make the leap at that point.
Now, look, James, rule number one at retirement rehab is lengthen your runway and earn at the highest level as long as you possibly can so that you can ultimately make the choice on your own terms, not forced by anybody else. But along with that comes the great obligation that you got to start. You got to find something that's going to work for you longer term. And the beauty is that when you have an income coming in, the little setbacks aren't so bad. The frustration is that it could be a long day if you're trying to learn new skills or work with meet new clients or whatever it is. But you and I've had this conversation before. Give up Game of Thrones, give up all of the sports things, and find the time to do it. It's so rewarding. And the other thing I will mention, and I say this. I feel like I repeat it almost every day to the people that I coach, which is, we always, the old adage is that we always overestimate what we can do in the short term and we underestimate what we can do in the long term. So literally, if you just pick something to get done today and then tomorrow pick something to get done tomorrow, when you wake up after 6 months, you'll be just amazed at how far you can go. And that's what's going on in our community, okay? What's going on in our community is people they have accountability threads, and they're talking about, what they're getting done every day, and they're getting encouragement from others. And then there are other people copying, say, hey, I saw that you were able to do that. Now I'm going to go do that. I'm going to, go and set up a profile on a freelancing site. I'm going to start to, work on, this area of interest, and, this is my to-do list. And so, it's amazing to see people, help other people out when they get stuck, but it's also these accountability threads are really, really huge because, once you tell the world that you're going to do it, first of all, you do it, but secondly, you get a lot of encouragement from people, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's kind of like a rising tide lifts all boats, right? If you copy my motto and you're successful with it, then I'm happy for you. I'm not angry with you because, frankly, the world is big enough for both of us to be successful without pulling back on one or another.
The reality is that I got into the whole e-commerce world by watching other people, listening to podcasts and reading blogs of people that were in the trenches every day. I joined the Facebook groups that they're in. I watched the good days and I watched the bad days. And I just said, look, this is something I can do. And, if you know that there are other people out there doing it, it's kind of hard to take a call that you're not going to be able to do it. Now, there's a mindset shift from being an employee to being, kind of an entrepreneur. Because it's very easy to go into a place of work and kind of have a routine every day. But you figure it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, totally agree. And, if somebody does want to take that first step today, if they've heard what we said and they say, I want to give it a shot. You guys landed on buying an e-commerce store and then a couple more, but that's just one model. What are some of the other things that women who want to take back control of their retirement planning can do on the entrepreneurial front? How can they kind of dip their toe in the water and see if entrepreneurship's right for them?
So I would say that with regards to, first of all, I always talk about the big three, right? There's, coaching, consulting, then there's freelancing, and there's a couple of flavors of freelancing, and then there's the e-commerce universe. But I would say that depending, if you have specific skills, there is an enormous need for people that can write, people that can edit. If you have only a little bit of training in social media, you can do social media management for people. If you have any teaching experience, I don't care if it's Sunday school or if it's swimming lessons, there is an enormous opportunity for someone who has any teaching experience to either create courses on something where you have a knowledge set or a passion, or use your teaching to help other people, you know, in some way that you're, you know, get employed to help them. So, you know, look, obviously, if you're a professional and a career professional and have an opportunity to do consulting, you know who you are, and you just really need to figure out exactly how to structure that. But those would be the major ways that I see people doing it. The easiest thing, quite frankly, is to just start to, you know, kind of get involved in freelancing, see what it's like, see how it fits, and then see if you want to graduate from there.
Yeah. And I think what that really starts with is a personal audit, some self-reflection, and say, what are my skills? What do I like to do? And then look at the options available to you out there. I mean, if you left the workforce as a marketing director, then maybe you're the perfect person to be a coach or a consultant for startup companies who can't afford to hire a head of marketing, and you can just come in and consult them on their strategy and their execution. Similarly, if you find that you're a super organized person and you love running the household and managing everybody's calendars for the kids when there's sports, and maybe even your husband, I know my wife manages my calendar for me sometimes when I need it. So if you're super organized like that, then maybe you're good to be a virtual assistant and you can work freelance in that capacity.
Yeah, so let me mention something. Right now we're doing a fairly large survey of exactly how far people are on a monthly income basis from what they anticipate their needs are going to be. And we'll be releasing the survey results, you know, fairly soon. But the numbers are that they're not that far away. $2,000-$4,000 a month is looking like it's, you know, kind of like the fat part of the bell curve, to be honest with you. $2,000-$3,000 is, you know, a fairly easy amount of income to construct if you get started and build a lifestyle that will be, you know, absolutely the lifestyle that you want. Kind of like I described for my wife, what works for her. Yes, you have to be organized. Yes, you have deliverables because you have clients, but you kind of get to do it on your own terms. And so it's really not that far out of reach. And so I would say that, you know, that's the most exciting thing is once people see that opportunity, then they really get engaged. It's fun to see.
Yeah. So it sounds like what you're saying is, let's just assume somebody thinks that they can live off of $50,000 a year indefinitely. So that's roughly 4,000 and some change every month. And you're measuring how far away they are from that based on what their nest egg looks like, or is it from what their
social security, nest egg, potentially a pension, something like that. No one wants to touch the nest egg. So it's the cash flow the nest egg throws off and, you know, a little bit of cushion. People also look to figure out obviously how they can shrink, the expense side. And so, you know, we work on, you know, both sides of that equation, but yeah, it's just not that far that, you know, that you're away, and it's just not that hard, to figure out how to get there. Again, you got to start. It looks daunting starting from zero, but you know, after your first couple of engagements, which you will spend too much time on and you will stress out over, and I've done it and I'm doing it whenever I, you know, kind of stretch myself. But you learn how to manage it. It's wonderful, really. So.
Yeah. And I love that. We're going to probably talk about those survey results in a future episode, I'm sure. But absolutely. I love that example. And I love that you brought that up because that's really what we're tackling here today. If you know that you need $50,000 every year in retirement to live the lifestyle that you want, but based on the nest egg, because you're out of the workforce for a while, whatever the case may be, you're not going to hit that number simply drawing down from the nest egg that you have now. Well, then you need to do exactly what we talked about today and take charge of your retirement by generating income in some fashion. So we covered a bunch of ideas for how to get started with that today. And of course, we're going to link up the study and the community and the survey results when they're ready. We'll put them all in the show notes. And like I said, we'll probably talk about them in a future episode. So I love what we talked about today, Ian. Is there anything you want to leave the folks with before we hop off?
Yeah, I just want to add and punctuate with what we're ending with, which is however much you think you're going to need, you're overestimating it. Okay. You're looking at it from the lens of where you're living now, and there are so many creative ways to lower your cost of living. And when you do exit kind of probably the expensive place you're living for something less expensive, and you start to shed a lot of the things that, you know, you kind of take for granted in your 40s and 50s that you no longer take for granted when you really start to think it through, You're overestimating it. So you're actually closer than you think. So there's a great reason to have hope, let me tell you.
I love it. I love that as a takeaway. And if you are a woman listening to this episode, and for whatever reason, you're not comfortable with where your retirement is at, maybe you took some maternity leave, maybe you took some time off to care for a loved one that was sick, maybe you went through a divorce, whatever the case may be, if you're not happy with where you're at right now, the message we want to send home is there are options available to you. You don't have to do it alone. And the folks in the retirement rehab community are there to help you achieve your goals and even exceed them so that you can live the lifestyle you want for the rest of your life. So Ian, thank you so much as always for your time today. And we'll be looking forward to the next conversation with you here soon.
Great, James. Really one of my favorite topics. I think, I get so many inquiries from our women readers, and the community is very vibrant, and it's just fun to be engaged with people. I think the fact that we have solved this as a couple, and we think about it as a couple, might help, people kind of get there, but, thanks. It was a wonderful conversation. So thank you.
Same to you. And hopefully the folks at home, check out the show notes and check out the community. And we'll be back with another great episode here in the near future. See you, Ian.
Take care.
All right, folks. So there you have it. That concludes my conversation with Mr. Ian Bond, all about how women can take back control of their future and their retirement planning through entrepreneurship. I hope you enjoyed it. I think we covered a lot of great points here today, and I think especially poignant is the fact that whether you're behind in your retirement savings or you have a nice little nest egg set aside, the trends that exist in longevity and the human life cycle indicate that we're going to live longer than ever before, which means the time that we will be out of the workforce and in retirement is longer than ever before. So even if you have that nest egg and you're drawing down from it, odds are that it won't be enough, and that by the end of your retirement period, you'll be out of money or very short on money, and you'll be looking to others for help. So if you want to avoid that and you want to make sure that you have a safety net to take care of you for the rest of your life and it won't keep you up at night, then I think entrepreneurship is a great way to generate revenue streams that happen every single month and continue to pay you even after you stop working. And we shared some strategies for how to get started with that today. But the most important tip, I think, is remember that you don't have to do this alone. If you're feeling overwhelmed or scared, you're not alone. Other people have been there. And the No Nest Egg Retirement Community is the perfect place to connect with other folks who are feeling the same way, have the same goals and aspirations as you, might be a few steps ahead of you in the process, and are excited to help you get to where you want to be. So that's all I have for you today. If you are a woman who finds yourself in this situation and this struck a chord with you, please let us know. Similarly, if you know a woman in your life who needs to hear this, please send the URL her way so that she can be inspired to take back control of her retirement and her future. Until next time, we'll see you on the other side.